Well, greetings, friends. This is Herbert W. Armstrong with the good news of the world tomorrow. What's prophesied to happen to the United States? World War III is prophesied, but not like people think. Great as our nation is today, its final destiny is far greater, and with an ultimate glory that we don't even dream of today. But paradoxically, this will never be brought about by World War III. No, my friends, first we have some monumental lessons to learn, and our proud nation is destined to go down before we come back up, to be punished as no nation or people have ever been punished, to learn the way to peace and happiness and prosperity and eternal glory. Unless we're willing to learn it without being punished, we're going to be punished before we finally achieve those virtues and blessings permanently, but we shall have them after we have learned our lesson. You've heard me speak of the coming happy, peaceful, joyful world tomorrow. That was the good news that was and is Christ's very gospel. This entire earth is going to lie at peace and in our very present generation, yet in this very 20th century A.D., you'll live to see it, a world with poverty, hunger, and want banished. Think of it, my friends, this whole earth with no hospitals anywhere because no one will be sick anymore. No jails or prisons because crime will be banished. Oh, it's going to be a happy time. And it's coming after God sends Jesus Christ once again to this earth as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to rule all nations with divine and supernatural power, setting up world government, the government of God, over all the earth and over every nation. The whole earth will burst out in song, in gladness and joy. Yes, after mankind has learned the way to peace and all these blessings. You know, my friends, God Almighty laid out that way to the very first man, Adam. He laid that way out to the nation that he formed, ancient Israel. But Adam rejected that way, ancient Israel rejected that way, and went the way that seems right to a man, the way of the pagans. Now, paganism, my friends, is a way that seems right to a man. And I don't doubt that the pagan way seems right to you, and that God's way will seem wrong, because you read in the very Word of God that the carnal mind, that's a natural, normal human mind, it is enmity against God. It's hostile to God. It thinks God is wrong. God's way is wrong. It misjudges God. It looks on God like so many people say, oh, I can't stand that God of the Old Testament, that harsh, stern God. Yeah, that's the natural carnal mind that thinks of God as being like that. Did you ever read the Old Testament? Did you ever read about God in the Old Testament, whose mercy endureth forever? The God whose mercy is as great toward us as the heavens are high above the earth. Did you ever really read about God's love and God's mercy? And yet men talk about that harsh, stern God of the Old Testament. Where did you ever read that in the Bible? Where did you ever get any such thing out of history? Now, God, my friends, is a God who is a loving parent and who chastens and chastises every son he loves. Whether it be you as an individual, whether it be the Christian, if a person is a real Christian, God is going to chasten him. God is going to teach him some lessons. Why? Because we were put here for a purpose. We were put here, my friends, to learn the way to peace and to happiness and to joy and to prosperity and into everything good and everything worthwhile. But we don't have it on the earth. What do we have? We have an earth filled with prisons, an earth just simply completely blotched with crime and with everything wrong. We have an earth where people are doing wrong, they're living wrong, and we see the result of it everywhere. Well, think of the kind of world we're going to have. A world just bursting out in song and gladness and joy. All of those things gone after mankind has learned the way, has learned its lessons. And when the world tomorrow arrives, my friends, here's something that I haven't perhaps been thinking about enough to even mention very often to you, and yet it's very, very important. When that world tomorrow arrives, it is our people, the American and the British peoples, the peoples that are today the white English-speaking peoples of this world, who shall occupy the very top position among all the nations of the earth, far more so than we have occupied such a position in the past 100 years or do today. You simply have not even vaguely conceived of the glory that shall be ours. But as I say, my friends, look how we're living today. Look at the conditions today that we have brought on ourselves. We're reaping what we've been sowing, and we're going to have to be punished. We're going to have to take a good national spanking to learn a lesson, and God Almighty is now about to administer it. And God has raised up this very program and is utilizing my voice to this entire world, around the world, to let you know that God is about to punish. Until we learn our lessons, we have to learn the way of peace. We have to learn the way of happiness and of joy, because it isn't going to come any other way. We're going to have to be turned from our present evil ways. Now you say, well, human nature is the cause of all this. Yes, I know. Let me tell you something, my friends. God Almighty is the one who created everything, created every force and every energy, and has all power. And God is going to change even human nature. That's necessary. God's going to do it. I want you to notice a prophecy. It's back in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. I'd like to have you notice it. Deuteronomy 28. Now, this was said to our forefathers. And my friends, once again, if you don't know where the United States is mentioned in the Bible and in Bible prophecies, and one-third of your Bible is prophecy, and if you don't know where we're mentioned, so that you can know what is prophesied to happen to us in the immediate future, and you don't know what our destiny is and what's going to happen in your town, in your home, right where you live, you'd better learn where we are mentioned in the Bible. So once again, write in for our booklet, The United States in Prophecy. This is really just a booklet, although it is a condensation of what would be and what originally was a very large book. But we have condensed it into just a handy size that you can read in not too long a time, although you should spend several days at it with your Bible. Opening up your Bible and reading all of the passages there, you'll find it the most thrilling thing you ever read. Write in for it, and the mailing address, there's no charge whatsoever. The mailing address is Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California. I'll announce that again at the close of the program in just 20 minutes. Be listening. Get pen, pencil, paper, envelope. Have it ready. Jot that down. Get it into the mail immediately. Now, this is speaking of our forefathers, because we are their descendants. It's speaking of our people today, but originally this message came through Moses to our forefathers, the children of Israel, way back there. This is God's dealing. Listen, I've read you before here in the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy, where God said, and this goes for all mankind, I have set before thee this day life and good, that's on the one hand, and death and evil, that's on the other. And then God says in verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, he said, choose. And God made us free moral agents so that we must choose. You must choose the way you're going to go as an individual. Now, God also set before his nation, before his people, blessing on the one hand and curses on the other. Now, here it is, Deuteronomy 28. Listen, this is fundamental. This is basic. This applies to us today. This has vital bearing and winds up in a prophecy for our time now and what's going to happen to us and to our nation today. Listen. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, that's a prophecy, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Eternal thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments. God is the ruler, my friends. God is the creator. He created force, energy, all laws, all powers. He set laws in motion. He has revealed those spiritual laws without which man cannot be happy. We have flaunted them. We have spurned everything that God gave us. We have decided God was wrong. We resent everything God gives us, and we're reaping what we've been sowing. Now listen. It shall come to pass, if thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Eternal thy God to observe and to do all of his commandments, that the Eternal thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou wilt hearken unto the voice of the Eternal thy God. Now let me interpose right there and mention this. God had promised that very thing unconditionally to Abraham more than 430 years before this, or just 430 as a matter of fact. And he had promised these things unconditionally to Abraham. He had made that promise absolutely unconditional because, as I read in the 26th chapter of Genesis and verse 5, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, my laws. That's such a rare thing, my friends, to find a man on this earth that will obey God. That because one man did it, God promised that his children would become, first, the greatest single nation on earth. Secondly, another part of those very people, a great commonwealth of nations, which today is the British Commonwealth, and we, the United States, are that single nation today. Now, God had said, as I've read to you in the 26th chapter of Leviticus, through Moses to the children of Israel back in the days of the ancient nation Israel, when they were not so large, there might have been 3, 4, 5 million of them at that time. But they were not such a great nation as we are today. And God had said then, if you'll walk in my statutes and keep my commandments, then I'll give you peace in the land and you'll have prosperity and all that kind of thing. But if you will not, he said he would have them invaded by foreign nations, they would be conquered, they would be taken away as slaves, and he would withhold that blessing, he said, 7 times. That is 2,520 years. Now, they did not obey. And consequently, first the house of Israel and then Judah, because the 12 tribes had been divided into the two nations. They were both invaded. They were conquered. And the great blessing was withheld 2,520 years from the time of Israel's captivity in 721 B.C., which brings us to 1800 A.D. And beginning at that time, my friends, God did keep this promise because he'd made it unconditionally to Abraham. Now then, to our forefathers back there, he's saying that they can have it in their time if they would obey him. And it says here that if they would, that the Eternal thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Eternal thy God. Why? Because God is the supreme ruler of the universe. Because God has set laws in motion. Because if they obey him, they're obeying the laws that automatically bring peace and happiness and prosperity, and everything that the heart of man really yearns for and really wants, but doesn't know how to get. The trouble is we're trying to get those things. We're trying to just reach out and take happiness, but we're going the wrong way. We're backing up backwards instead of going forwards, and so we're getting just the opposite. Now, verse 7, the Eternal shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee. Have we ever had them? Sure. To be smitten before thy face, they shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee 7 ways. Now that was never carried out in the time of ancient Israel, except during such times as Israel obeyed God. But God had promised that unconditionally to Abraham, and he has kept that promise for us. And even though we didn't deserve it, even though we didn't do it through any merits of our own, my friends, God has made the United States the greatest nation on earth and the British the great commonwealth of nations, and he won World War I and World War II for us. We have won every war up until Korea, and we didn't win that one. That's the first time we stopped winning wars. Now, my friends, it's significant, and according to prophecy, the United States has now stopped winning wars, which simply means God has stopped winning them for us. Because we didn't really win World War I or World War II, God interposed with certain miracles that changed the whole course of those wars and brought victory on our side. God is the one who determines the outcome of wars. Haven't I read that to you in the 33rd Psalm? And I like to read it out of the Moffat translation. Let me just turn to it here real quickly and read it to you again. I want you to realize, my friends, God is the supreme ruler. And here in verse 10, Psalm 33, the Eternal wrecks the purposes of pagans. He brings to nothing what the nations plan. Now, nations are planning things right now. But this says that the eternal God brings to nothing what the nations plan. But the eternal's purpose stands forever, and what he plans will last from age to age. Happy the nation whose God is the eternal. The eternal looks down from heaven, beholding all mankind. From where he sits, he scans all who inhabit the world. He who alone made their minds. He made our minds. Think of that. Animals don't have minds like we do. They have a brain. They don't have the kind of minds we do. God made our minds. He notes all they do. Armies do not bring victory to a king. The warrior is not rescued by sheer strength. Cavalry are in vain for victory. There is no winning by the strength of that. No, the Eternal's eye rests on his worshipers, who rest their hopes upon his kindness, that he may rescue them from death. God determines the outcome of wars. Now, of course, that's God's word. A lot of people, what do they do about it today? They scoff, they mock, they think, well, what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. My friends, look back through history. It's always happened like God said. And the prophecies in your Bible have happened, all that were supposed to happen up to this time, exactly as God said. Will you make light of the prophecies of God Almighty? These things are certain as the rising and the setting of tomorrow's sun. Now, God had said here, the Eternal, verse 12, the Eternal shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give thee rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. My friends, he has done that to the United States finally. He promised it to ancient Israel if they would keep his commandments, if they would obey his laws and let him be their king. And he made them free moral agents and allowed them to reject. And as a matter of fact, he decreed that they had to choose whether they would accept or reject his rule. And he allowed them to reject it, even though he had all the power in the world to force them to accept it. Now, they rejected it, but once again, let me remind you that God had promised these things and the dew and the rain from heaven to Abraham, our father, and he has carried it out to us. Now, my friends, he's kept that promise. He doesn't have to go on keeping it. He has kept it, period. And because of our sins and because we're behaving now like ancient Israel of old, God is going to withdraw that promise. This thing is of God. You read the first chapter of the prophecy of Joel, and you'll see what's going to happen to our people in our land, because we have to be punished until we learn our lessons, until we learn the way to have all this prosperity and all these blessings and all this happiness. Listen. The Eternal will make thee plenteous in goods. That's in verse 11. And in verse 12, the Eternal shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Do you ever notice how we have lend lease? Oh, we just give it away. We not only lend, we give money to other nations. Now, verse 13, and the Eternal shall make thee the head and not the tail. Where are we today, my friends? I say that we are Israel. This was to happen to Israel after 2,520 years, after 1800 A.D. Israel, whoever Israel is in the world, it's not the Jewish people alone, because the Jewish people are Judah, and they had the scepter, and Christ came of them. Actually, in the long run, theirs is the greatest blessing, so far as that's concerned. But I'm talking now about the birthright that went to Israel, that went to Ephraim and to Manasseh, whose people we are. Read this booklet, United States and Prophecy, if you don't understand what I'm talking about. That'll straighten it out for you. It's the most important thing for you to do in your life right now, is to get that straightened out, to know our own national destiny, to know who we are, to understand your Bible, and you can't understand it until you get this key that unlocks its doors. Why, my friends, we have all these blessings. No other nation ever had them. The Eternal shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Eternal thy God. Now, we have those things because Abraham obeyed God, but we're not obeying, and we're going to go under. All right, let's go further. Verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Eternal thy God to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. These things did happen to ancient Israel because they did not obey, so the curses came. We have had the blessings because God promised it to Abraham. Why? Because Abraham obeyed God. But we haven't. No, we haven't. We got the blessings because we happen to be his descendants. And that's not of our planning or our doing. God gave us every chance in the world just to demonstrate, my friends, what we would do with it. We have reared up educational institutions of atheism that teach the godless, God-defying concept of evolution in our institutions of higher learning. We have all kinds of idols that we serve in this United States. You know, an idol doesn't just have to be a statue or an image. There are other kinds of idols, and our land is full of them. We make mention of our God in our prayers, but not in real sincerity and truth, and we don't obey him. Instead, we believe, most of us, that Christ was a smart aleck that knew more than his Father in heaven and came to do away with his Father's laws. And he came to give us license to do anything we please and still be under grace. Is that what we believe? My friends, there is a curse coming on us because of that. Listen, this is pronounced by God Almighty. Cursed shall be the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Those curses are just now beginning to come on the United States and the British, my friends. We're going to reap what we've been sowing until we learn our lessons. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in. Cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Eternal shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thy hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me. Thus saith the Lord. I tell you, my friends, if you have an ear to hear, you better open them, because that pertains to us in this time today. It's about time you blow the dust off your Bible, open it up, and begin to learn these things. Verse 24, the Eternal shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From the heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. My friends, that's a warning, if you'll heed it, with the warning you're hearing in your ears this minute. In the name of Jesus Christ, wake up! Because these things are real and they're coming from God, and he's foretold it. And it's foretold in a good many other prophecies. Have you got eyes to see with to read your Bibles? Have you got minds to think with, minds that are not too carnal to realize that God means what he says? The time of reckoning is coming, and it's coming on our land and our people. God Almighty has blessed our nation with prosperity and with advantages that no people in the history of this world have ever had. You, my friends, have been enjoying things that no other people in any past age or past nation or anywhere in the world have ever had or ever enjoyed. What have you been doing with it? Have you glorified God in it? Have you gone along the ways that God set in motion that will utilize it to your happiness and that of your children? Or have we been just simply abusing our own selves, dissipating away our own lives, our minds? You people are averaging about 6 hours a day sitting in front of television. What doing? Just dreamy-minded, letting it take your mind away on dreamy stuff that is wasting your time. It should be put to a better use. Well, there it is, and there's a lot more of it, my friends. I see that time is about up. And I was reading to you in the preceding program where in the 30th chapter of Jeremiah, that yoke is to come on our neck. And at the second coming of Christ, Christ is going to take away that yoke, because by that time we will have learned our lesson. And in verse 14 of this 30th chapter of Jeremiah, He says all your allies have forgotten you. They seek you not. For God says, I have wounded you, and that's coming, with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. And he says he's going to punish us, but not too hard. And after that, he's going to rescue us. And after that, my friends, even those that are going to conquer our nation, and it's foretold and it's prophesied, if we don't wake up and repent and return to our God. And after that, they're going to turn just the other way. We're going back to the land that God gave our forefathers. We're going to have prosperity such as we don't even dream of today, that will outmatch anything that we have in the United States today so far that your mind can't conceive it. After we learn our lesson, after we learn to serve God, and through a period of 1,000 years, the earth will be full of the knowledge of the eternal, and God's law will go forth from Zion, and all nations will say, now let's walk in God's ways and do it, and then they'll beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks, and we won't have war anymore.